Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Quite an introduction there. Thank you. No pressure, right? Favorite preacher, and that's a lot to live up with. Can you hear me okay? Am I on? Am I working? Okay. I can yell really loud if I need to, but it's always different when you get someone else's microphone, right? And it's on his left side. Mine's on my right side every week. It's just different. All right. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Isaac, for the invitation to be here. It's great. And I'll have you know, I have invited your pastor to come preach at my church multiple times, and yet here I am first at his church. I don't know what the deal is. We got to get him over there. But as he said, my name is Isaiah Jesch. I pastor Nelsonville Assembly in Nelsonville, Missouri. We're kind of near the Palmyra, Hannibal area. Our church was not nearly as creative in naming ourselves. We're just Nelsonville Assembly because we're in Nelsonville. 1923, I guess that's just what they thought was good. You guys in, 1956 were founded? Okay. And so you're a little more creative. You didn't just name it based on where you sat. So kudos to you. I began pastoring as the lead pastor of our church about 3.5 years ago there in Nelsonville. It's just a joy to serve God's people, a joy to preach God's word, and so I love to do that. And like he said, we served for quite a while at Evangel Temple in Springfield, Missouri together. I loved that time. When I met him, he was a young unmarried man, and he moved into this house we had on the property. And I remember thinking, something's wrong with Isaac, because I'd ask him, I'd go over to his house, what'd you have for dinner? He's like, oh, taquito. How'd you cook a taquito? I just put it in this little skillet and just, I'm like, you really need to get your, get married. Like, you need someone to help you. You really need some help. But he and I became very good friends, and it's a joy to serve and ministry alongside him and his lovely wife now, Sarah. We're so grateful to count them friends and their little one. He's just precious. Malia's going to hug all the baby time now, and then when we get back to their house, I get the baby time. So that'll be great. Well, as you heard, Malia's my wife. We've been married for a little over 10 years now. We have two kids that are with Nana and Papa tonight. They were going to be here with us, and then the grandparents decided, oh, no, we just can't not have them. You're driving, halfway across the state. We'll meet you in Macon, and we'll do the switch. And so they got to go to Nana and Papa's house tonight. We have one on the way as well. We're excited for that in February. So with all of that kind of introduction, you don't really need to know much about me. What we're here for tonight is the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm glad you came for that. So I am a firm believer in the power of the Word of God. There's nothing else like what we have in the Scriptures here. Like, this is life for us. And so anytime we get to open the Word of God together as God's people, I believe God does something in us. He changes us. He grows us. And so that's what I want us to do tonight, to experience together tonight, is the radical power of God at work in our lives. My heart, my focus, pastorally speaking, what drives my ministry for a long time has been this idea of wanting to personally have a life that is well spent. And part of what I want to do as a pastor is to encourage other Christians to pursue that same thing. See, I don't think God created us just to kind of coast along in life. I don't think it was just, well, we'll put you on the earth and kind of see how it plays out. I believe God has created every one of us for a purpose. There's something He had in mind for you, for your life. And so what I want to do is I want to find that purpose in my life, and I want to live out of that. I want to spend my life well. And tonight I hope to encourage you to pursue that same thing in your life, though it will look different life to life, right? We always need to be committed, I believe, to do the work of preparing ourselves to make the most of every opportunity that God gives us. So it's one of the reasons why I love to see God's people gather together in a worship gathering like this, because these are moments that God uses to form us, to help us prepare for the moments that lie ahead. Oftentimes, moments that we cannot foresee, no matter how wise we may be, no matter how wise we may think we are, that we may not really be, but we cannot always know what lies ahead, yet we serve a God who perfectly knows the future and works in us now to prepare us for what is coming. a good example of this in my own life. I believe Pastor Isaac, he texted me or called me last Sunday. We were talking, and he said, hey, I just wanted you to know we prayed for you. Was it last Sunday evening? Led you in praying for me. That was so meaningful. We've had a bit of a difficult season the last couple weeks in our church life. Just some areas of growth that needed to occur, some areas of change that needed to happen. But how many know that change is sometimes uncomfortable? You can lift your hand if you want to. You don't have to. Okay, I make my people lift their hand. Like, you got, okay, now we got to engage a little bit. So change is uncomfortable. Change is hard. And what the season that we are walking through right now is something that I could never have foreseen would be the moment that we are in, right in this very moment, but God knew. And so we're dealing with some relational things in our church, and God had already, as I was planning out the whole year, I mean months and months ago, put on my heart to preach on the 59 one another commands about how we're to relate and interact with one another. And it's just perfect timing for the season of life that our church is in to go to the scripture and hear God speak to us exactly where we are. It's incredible that God can do that. Now, tonight, as I said, we're going to talk about how to try to pursue spending our own lives well. And this is an idea that I've taught on quite a bit. It's something I'm passionate about. So I've preached at Nelsonville about this many times. I preached about this in Springfield at Evangelist Temple many times. And I preached to the adults and the Wednesday night Bible study class and youth group. When Isaac was pastor, he had me come and preach to them different times and to the kids ministry. And this is something I believe, no matter how old we are, no matter how much life we've lived, is something we always need to refocus on and be able to pursue. More than anything else, I want my life to be one that is well spent. And I hope you do too. Here's the big idea for this evening. If you're going to take kind of one thing to sum up what I want you to walk out of this place with, what I want God to press deeply down into your heart, into your soul, is this idea that a well-spent life is one that seeks to make the most of every moment of time that we are given by God. That's the big idea. If you want to have a well-spent life, you want to get to the end of it, you want to stand before God and hear those beautiful words, well done, good and faithful servant, I think it will come if we live this way, spending our life committed to making the most of every moment of time that we are given by God. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, because I can stand up here and say all day long we should live a well-spent life, we should pursue this, but it doesn't really matter what I say. I'm just a guy who drove 3.5 hours across the state. What matters is what God says. And so Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, the Apostle Paul writes to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, look carefully then at how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. I love this phrase from Paul, making the best use of the time. It's an important phrase, and it's a phrase that would have massive impact on our life if we were to really live that out, right? Paul says the exact same thing in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. These statements tie together to one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I love the scope of that. That means whatever your profession is, if you're working, if you're retired, if you're raising young kids, if your kids are all grown, no matter what your life is, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. That should be the heartbeat, the passion. Wise people, godly people understand this and keep this in view all the time. This is the way to properly understand the gift of time that God has given us. Godly people look at time, look at our lives as resources, something that we are to steward well, something that's to be leveraged for good and God-glorifying purposes, not something that should be wasted or spent idly or carelessly. I think there's some great examples. I want to share a few great examples that motivate me to want to spend my life well and guide me in that process. One of them is from church history. I love church history. I love to read. Most of the guys I like to read are dead because, you know, I can look at their life and I can say, was it well spent? I can see the start and the finish, and I can look for good examples in church history. And one of the men I believe lived a life well spent, lived in a godly, wise way, was Jonathan Edwards, who I understand you heard from this morning, right? You quoted Edwards this morning. So Jonathan Edwards, if you didn't get all the background from Pastor Isaac, he was a great theologian. He lived at the time of what's called the Great Awakening here in America that took place in 1734 and 1735, and Edwards was an instrumental part of that. But before the Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards had already resolved he wanted to spend his life well. He wanted to live every day in a God-glorifying way. So before his 20th birthday, he had already understood these incredible truths and already made out a list of resolutions, 70 resolutions that he wrote out that he wanted to govern his life every single day so that he could spend it well. And there's some remarkable goals that Jonathan Edwards writes out in those 70 resolutions. Do you have the resolutions here? Well, I know it's on my Christmas gift for Pastor Isaac then. I mean, you're going to need a poster, big old poster. One of the resolutions, resolution number 5 that Jonathan Edwards wrote, says this: resolved never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Well, that's a lofty goal for a 19-year-old to be writing down, isn't it? To make it even more clear, Edwards reiterates it in resolution number 7. He says, resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. What a perspective that is, right? How many times do you and I think, if I were to stand before God before the next hour passed, would I be proud of what I'm doing? Edwards says, this is what I want to resolve to live every moment thinking about. Everything I do, I want to know if I stood before God, I would be proud of what it is that I am doing in this moment. These convictions in Jonathan Edwards formed a man who understood this command of God to make the best use of the time that we have been given. Edwards wanted to look at everything he did in this light, the way he would spend his hours of this life. He would always strive to consider if he'd be proud of those actions if he stood before the holy God and his judgment seat. How often do we think like that? Edwards, at age 19, knew what many of us take a lot longer to learn. Amen? He understood this important truth: how we live and how we spend our time matters greatly. This is true of every single one of us. How I live and how I spend my time is not just important because I'm a pastor. How you live, how you spend your time, again, no matter what stage of life you're in, no matter what you do for a living, how you live your life matters greatly. I'll just stay with Edwards a little bit because I think he's a great real-life example. Earlier in this year, I was struck as I pulled down volume 2 of Jonathan Edwards' collected works from my bookcase, and I was reading a sermon that Edward had preached. It was titled — my sermon titles don't get to be this long because people don't respond to them that well, so I have to be real condensed, you know? But back then, Edwards didn't have any problem. His sermon title was "The Preciousness of Time and the Importance of Redeeming It." He preached this message December of 1734, so right at the start of this great awakening that was taking place as God was working here in the United States. Edwards was looking at Scripture, and this sermon is built out of him unpacking how a wise person, a godly person, will fulfill this command that we have in Ephesians chapter 5 by seeing time as a precious gift from God. And what was amazing to me was, as I was actually preparing a sermon and had written my sermon out to preach to my own church, as I read Edwards' sermons, the things Edwards was saying then were the same things I was preparing to say to my church, which made me feel really good because Edwards is a lot smarter than I am. So I was like, I'm on the right track here. Edwards preached this message to Northampton, Massachusetts in December of 1734. I preached a message along these same lines, the lines I want to share with you tonight, at my church in February of this year. And here we are in September of 2021, going to hear the same truth over and over again. Why? Because how you live your life matters. And understanding time is a crucial part of motivating you, I think, to pursuing a life well spent. I'm convinced of these truths, not because Edwards said them, but because I see them in the text of Scripture. The first point I think we need to understand as people living in this world is that time is short. Not just in general, our time is short. The time we have left in our lives, no matter how young or old you are, it's really short in the grand scheme of things. Job makes a clear confession of understanding this truth in his life. In Job chapter 7, verse 7, he says, I remember that my life is only a breath. His whole life, he understands, my life is a really short part of what God is doing in the whole history that is unfolding in this world. If you turn to the New Testament, you can hear James unpack and apply this truth that the time we have in this life is really short in the grand scheme of things. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. For what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. See, unfortunately, I think many of us, myself included at times, we live our lives unaware of just how short the time really is. And I think one of the challenges to remembering the shortness of time comes because sometimes the days feel really long in our lives, right? Anyone had days that just seemed to drag on, seasons of life that seemed to drag on forever, weeks that feel like they would never end? There's just seasons when the kids are difficult to raise, right? When work is really hard to do right now. When our relationships are complicated and there's challenges that we have to face, and it can seem like, when will this ever end? We feel like things will last forever, but yet, if you and I were to look back upon our lives, I think we would be shocked at how fast the years really have gone. Right? Like looking ahead, a decade seems like an incredibly long time into the future. But when you look back, that went by really fast, didn't it? Like, my son's 8 years old now, so in 10 years, he will be 18 years old, most likely headed off to college. His dreams right now are to be a dad and a pastor, and I'm so proud of him. And I'm not forcing him into the ministry, right? Whatever the Lord leads him to do, he's got a great mind, maybe engineering, something like that, I don't know. But whatever it is that God has him to do, in 10 years from now, he's going to be off pursuing that. And I have a hard time thinking about that. My little boy who still, you know, once tucked in at night sometimes, still comes down wearing the matching pajama set, right? That 10 years from now seems like forever. But if I look back, the 8 years I've already had with him have gone by like that. I mean, I remember when he was Pastor Isaac's son's age. And that's just yesterday, right? When I put him in the car seat for the first time. It just, when we look back, we see time goes by very quickly. The Bible uses such vivid imagery about our own lives, the whole scope of our lives, when it tells us we're like a mist, we're like a vapor, dew in the morning that disappears by noon. Our lives are truly short, yet we often fail to realize this as deeply as we should. But the Bible would press us even further. Not only should you and I remember our time is short, we should recognize that our time is uncertain. Again, if we go back to the wisdom literature in the Old Testament, we would read in Proverbs 27, verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. After living through 2020 and COVID-19, can we all agree there's wisdom in that statement? None of us know what tomorrow will bring. Again, if we go back to James, kind of the wisdom literature of the New Testament, James chapter 4, verse 13, which we just read, he said, do not presume to know about what is going to happen in the future. In verse 15, he tells us, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. None of us know what the future may hold. I have plans, as he mentioned, Pastor Isaac mentioned, I'm going to a conference in Kansas City tomorrow, and I'm excited about that, and that's my plans, but I honestly don't know if I'll make it to Kansas City, right? I mean, it's not as far as the drive that I did to get here today, but it's a drive. I mean, the Lord could take me home tomorrow. Instead of entering the campus of Midwestern Seminary tomorrow for worship and hearing the Word of God preached, I may enter into the gates of heaven. Time's uncertain. I have laid plans, but it's what the Lord determines that comes to pass. None of us know what the future holds. We all know that our time is short. And third, we should understand this. Once our time is spent, once it's passed, it cannot be regained. We often talk as if it could. How many of you have ever used the phrase, talked about saving time or making up some time, right? common things in our vocabulary, but really they're just figments of our imagination. Once time is gone, we never get it back. Once something is done, we cannot change it. Edwards was noting this back in 1734, but it's just as true today. With all the technology and all the advancements we have, once time is gone, it's gone. You can't add a day back to your life. You can't recover how you have spent your time. Knowing all of these things, again, at age 19, Edwards was far beyond where many of us are. He understood if these things are all true, time is short, life is uncertain, and I will never recover the time that I have spent, led him to resolve to live his life in an intentional way from that moment forward. He wanted a life well spent. He wanted, as Paul said, to make the most of the time that he would be given. So at least 13 of those 70 resolutions that he wrote as a 19-year-old man have to do with how he intends to steward his time well, how he intends to live his life intentionally. They're incredibly inspiring to me, the reality of the shortness of time before our lives will end leads us to understand that time itself really is a gift from God, and we are simply stewards of this gift. So hear me clearly, and this I wanted to press this on my own congregation, my own members, and I know nobody in this room except the four people on the front row. I know my own people at my church, the temptation for them hearing about this is to become paralyzed with fear, to be filled with guilt. Because, again, you're not raising your hands too much, so I'll just raise my hand. I have wasted time in my life. I have regrets. I'm betting that's true of every single one of us in this room. So the challenge for us is if we hear the words of Paul, if we hear God saying, you are called to important things, you are called to steward the time well, to make the most of every opportunity, and we look back and go, I have blown it time and time and time again, and I can't change any of that, the temptation can be to freeze up and to just to worry and to become stuck with where we are. We can become overwhelmed by the shortness, the uncertainty, or the guilt of wasted time. And yet that's not at all what God intends for us to hear when these texts are preached. We're called to be sober-minded, to know the reality that our days are numbered. Time is short. They are uncertain. This gift is precious. But know that these days that you and I have are numbered by God. They're part of His plan for you. So he knew that you would consider this text tonight in this very moment. He knew that you would hear this encouragement towards steward your life well. And he intends for you from this moment forward to live in light of this calling. And the good news is our God is always with us. He's always in control. His power is far beyond any power we have. He is the God who can redeem the past that we cannot change. Praise God for that, right? He can use those things we have done that we wish we could undo. He can use those in ways that impact people positively for the future. It's incredible what our God can do. James tells us, rely upon the Lord and His will. In Psalm 90, verse 12, we're told to pray this way, teach us, God, to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. We are to be motivated to live wisely, to glorify God in what we do, not to sit idly, not to live fearfully, not to be paralyzed by regrets, but now to number our days and move forward in wisdom. So my plea with you is this: don't waste your life by failing to use your time wisely. How much ever you have left, use it well. It's important. God's made you for a purpose. Edwards is an incredible historical motivator for me. But I have two living motivators for me that are actually members of my church. One of the deacons at my church was just elected to that office 2 years ago. He's 73 years old now. His name is Randy Spratt. I don't know, are we recording this? He may listen to it. Okay, he may get to listen to this later. He'll know I'm talking about him. Brother Randy is 73 years old right now. He was superintendent of our school system. He retired from that and then became a county commissioner and retired from that. And he had worked hard his entire life. He'd done very well for himself. He has a beautiful home. One of my favorite places to go up there is to Brother Randy and his wife Carolyn's home and to sit and look out their lake. It's an incredibly wonderful place. And Randy's worked really hard his entire life. He's done well for himself. And Randy had the opportunity to sit back and just enjoy, just coast through. How many ever years the Lord had left, he could just relax. But Randy believed he had been given this time that he had left in his life to do something for God. He wanted to live wisely with it. So Randy began doing missions work. Just got on a plane, went to Guatemala, met with an individual who has since become a pastor, built relationships with them, and now Randy leads a missions group to Guatemala, this work that we do in Guatemala, sending hundreds of thousands of dollars down there, supporting 48 churches, connected with all these pastors, training ministers down there. All of this developed in the last 10 years of Randy's life. From 63 to 73, the man has touched more lives than some of the people I know who have spent their entire life in ministry. He was committed to using his time well. And God has used him in incredibly powerful ways. So I don't know how many years you have left. I don't know what you've done in your past. What I do know is I serve a God, you serve a God, who can use whatever is in the future to glorify him and make a profound impact on this world. And I want all of us to resolve that. That we will live wisely, that we will make the most of these moments that God has entrusted to us. We would understand the truth of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which tells every single one of us, you, me included, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That is not just a text for Pastor Isaiah, for Pastor Isaac. That is a text for each one of us. God has created good works for you to walk in now. He has a plan for us. He has a calling for every single one of us. You and I simply have to resolve to steward our lives well, to be one of these individuals who will get to the end and say, yes, I had a life well spent. I pray every day that God would help me spend my life well. It's a theme day in and day out for me. And I understand there are some days where life's really, really hard. I still pray, Lord, in the hard days, help me steward my time well. I have two small kids. Over the last year, my wife and I have had the misfortune, I guess, the providential hand of God was difficult for us, and we suffered two miscarriages in the time that it would take normally to have one baby. And so we're so blessed with this third pregnancy that we've had now. We're looking forward to February. It's been a difficult season to walk through. But I pray every single day, Lord, help me use this time well. The reality is, I know that no matter what we do, no matter how we have spent our time in the past, it never really seems like enough. There's one final story, one final that I want to leave with you, one final group of people that motivate me really well. So people who are actually younger than me, our church has a couple that are actually missionaries in Columbia, Missouri at the campus of Mizzou there. And about 2 years ago, on October 12th, so we're coming up on this anniversary on October 12th, I got a call from their mother. So Morgan and Tyler live in Columbia, and their mother, Judy, and their dad, Craig, attend my church. And Judy called me and said, Pastor, would you pray for Morgan? She just texted. She's taken Blakely, their six-week-old baby, into the ICU there at the Children's Hospital in Columbia. And we just want to pray the Lord would just be there and be present. And you know, we don't really have any details. We just want prayer. And I said, absolutely. And so we prayed. And I hung up the phone, and I just, if you ever just felt the Lord impress something on you, and you just knew there was something you needed to do, and I looked at my wife, and I said, we were planning to go to an event next at the another church and be a part of this community celebration. I looked at her and I said, I know we're supposed to go there. I know your aunt's coming into town expecting to go there, but I need to go to Columbia. I need to be there for them. And so she's, okay, you know, I hop in my car and I drive to Columbia and I get there and I meet Craig and Judy. They just had pulled in and we're sitting in the waiting room of Children's Hospital there in Columbia. And we're praying together, and we don't know anything. We don't know what's happening. We're not getting much information from the back. And so Judy looks over and says, you know, I don't think Morgan and Tyler, like, have any support back there. We, you know, we're not hearing anything. Would you go ask the nurse if they will let you go back? Of course. I get up. I go up to the nurse. I explain who I am. I'm this pastor there from my church. And so she says, yeah, just a second. She comes around. She opens up the door, and I step in the side room with her. She closes the door, and before she takes me to the hallway, she says, I just need to let you know, we don't think Blakely is going to make it. 6 weeks old, her heart's giving out. They're doing everything they can, but we've been trying for about 30 minutes with a team of specialists, and we don't think she's going to make it. Do you still want to go back? And I said, of course, I want to go back. And I walk in, and there is a room, 20 nurses and doctors, and they're doing CPR on this little, tiny, six-week-old baby. And I stand there with Morgan and Tyler, and we're crying, and we're begging God, heal Blakely. And after about 30 more minutes of this, the doctor looks over and says, every time we get her heart to start up again, it stops. And as soon as we stop these compressions, her body's going to give out. We've been trying for an hour. We need to call it. And this little, precious, six-week-old baby dies on that table as we stand in that room. One of the hardest things, I've been in the room with people dying. I'll tell you, it's a lot different when it's a 95-year-old saint who's had this whole life, right? A walk with the Lord. It's totally different when it's a six-week-old baby. And as we stood there, praying and crying and feeling the mourning and the sorrow that comes with that, two different doctors walked over to us. And they said, I don't know what it is. I don't know how to explain it, but there's something different about you guys. And we're weeping, but there's something different about you guys in this room. What is it? And I said, as hard as this moment is, we trust in a God who's in control. And this moment, as life-ending as it may seem to people as you walk through that moment, is not the end of the story for us. And they said, well, I wish I had that kind of faith. And they left the room, and we went through the next week, which was incredibly hard. We had the funeral at our church. And at that funeral, sitting right on the front row just to my right, as I'm preaching this message, we get to this time of response, and they want a song played, Waymaker. Have you ever heard the song Waymaker? Morgan and Tyler specifically requested it, and as the song starts, they told me, they wanted me to invite the congregation to worship God at this funeral of this six-week-old baby. And so I invite the congregation to that. I said, I know it's hard, and this is a heavy moment, but Morgan and Tyler want us to worship God. And before I've even finished the word, Tyler stands up, lifts his hands, and begins singing this song. And there's not a dry eye in the room. Everyone's crying. Everyone is up singing and praising God. And the message that Morgan and Tyler wanted conveyed to everyone else is, listen, you don't know how much time you will have with your children, in your own life. Don't waste a moment. And I look at them today. They've been blessed. The Lord's given them a son, and he's almost a year old now. And their story of how they have moved forward from that loss is one of the most inspiring stories that I think could ever be told. They believed that they had a God who, though the time was short with Blakely, was fully in control of that. They serve a God who walked them through a very difficult season and yet has a plan for their life and for their ministry. And today they love and serve God. They share this story. They preach this message to college students. Listen, you feel invincible right now. You're not. You have big plans for your life. They may not come to pass. Take it from us who have walked through the most grievous loss we could possibly imagine. You need to resolve to live your life to the glory of God and steward your time, how much ever it is, well. I want that for us. I want that for you. These words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Look carefully at how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. We live in a limited amount of time. It's short, it's uncertain. It will never seem like enough. But regardless of what has happened in your past, resolve today to be used of God for the time he has left for you. Can I pray over you? Can I bless you this evening? Would you just bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you that you are a great and powerful God. You are the one in control of all things. You are the one who holds time in your very hand. And so, Lord, I pray that for every heart in this room, we would hear this call that you have given us to steward our lives well, to be people who pursue a life well spent. And Lord, you would give us the ability and the wisdom to see what that would look like in our own life. God, I pray for every heart in this room who knows you to be motivated in this time to leave this place, to live for the glory of God. And Lord, I know no one here, so I pray that for those in this room who may not know you, that tonight would be the night. Tonight they would hear what we're talking about and they would think, I'm not living my life well. I'm not spending this intentionally. Maybe I've wasted so much time and I don't want that to be the rest of my story. Then tonight, Lord, I pray that you would help them see their need for you and they would respond to you. Respond to the invitation that you extend to all of us, that when we come, when we respond and place our faith and trust in you, when we lay down our hopes of controlling our own lives, our power, our plans, we lay those things down at your feet, Lord, you give us the grace and mercy that redeems our past, forgives our sins, and transforms our future. Would you help each of us in this final few moments that we have respond to you? Whatever that may be, Lord, if we need to pray for wisdom on how to move forward, if we need to come to you for the first time ever and experience your grace and your mercy, help us respond in these moments, during this time, that we would leave this place, walk out of this room, different than how we came in here tonight. We thank you for the time you've given us together to worship you. It's in your beautiful, powerful name we pray, Lord Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I understand, Pastor.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.